Good morning again, and welcome if this is the first time you are here, and we have come here to worship together. My reading is from Psalm 119, and I'm going to read 8 verses. I do not intend to preach from the whole psalm this morning. No. And we are going to read 8 verses from Psalm 119 from verse 105 onwards. And then we pray. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. For I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, into your hands we place our time together around your holy word. Father, we have declared with our mouths that we want to praise your name. Father, we confess that we are sinners and we need your mercy because you are God. You are our creator. You are an awesome God. So, Father, meet with us this morning as we read your word. May your Holy Spirit come and give us a new strength, a new hope. Oh, Father, a new blessing, because we come to read your word, and we do all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last month, when I preached on Psalm 73, and then I wrote something on the monthly magazine, and I share a little bit of my testimony. After many weeks and months, scans and doctor's appointments and being perhaps anxious and stressed, they discovered this tumor in my left kidney, and it was in my best interest to take it out. And I said, wow, you know, suddenly I'm okay, and now I was in trouble. And they said, oh, you have cancer. And perhaps cancer stage 1. And the day of my surgery, I put on the magazine, I decided to observe. I was quiet. And then I observed. The day of the surgery, everyone arrived on time. That's good. Then we receive instructions from the nurses and sign our vitals, and we sign consent forms and questionnaires. And then we were asked to change into fashionable hospital gowns. And I was looking myself, and then to wear nice surgical stockings. And then I saw everyone, nobody complained. I don't like the color. Too short, too long. No, nobody complained. People from all walks of life, you can tell. And then I put that in my short reflection, that most people do everything they are supposed to do to get good education, the students in the university. I don't see that somebody's doing a degree or a master or a PhD. You know, I don't like this. No, you just do it. Until you finish, you know. And if you want to get a good job, you just go to the, through the training. You just be quiet and you obey. And as I said before, if we are not well, I want to be well. I wanted to come back and do, you know, the things I do. But sadly, sadly, when it comes to spiritual matters, everyone complains. Or most people complain. We tend to have questions and we do not yield to the power and authority of our God. Oh, the Bible, that was then, not now. And I said that the psalmist says, but as for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all you did. That was last month. And I asked him the questions. They said, but what about me? What about us? As we go into a new year, can we make this resolution? That's the reason why I said a resolution for the new year. It's February, but it still is the new year. Human beings need direction. All humans need light. We need light to make sure we can see things around us, to see the world around us, to avoid running into obstacles. Through the Bible, as we read, which is the word of God, God wants us to provide us light and guidance. The Lord give us clear direction. God has given his word, the Bible. Some people, say it's the lie, but some people say, no, like the GPS. Well, not quite sure, because some of you have been coming to visit you, and most of the time, what happened? I got lost. And I have the best GPS. My children gave me, the brand new TomTom, and this, I was so happy. And then I went to visit somebody from here. I got lost again. So no, I don't think so. That's the best description for the Bible. I agree with, one minister said this, and this is not my idea because I'm not that clever, that the Bible is a SPS. It's a SPS. What is a SPS? Let me see. This is today has been playing, but anyway, I'll do it. Well, as SPS is you will remember. That's okay. Take it. I always see the good thing. What is an SPS? Shall we say it together? A spiritual positioning system. I agree. I like that idea. Because when it comes to our spiritual lives, that's the most important. Tomorrow, I'm going to get old. And all the diplomas and degrees that you may have, all the things, sorry, sometimes they ended up in the tip or in a charity shop. That's the reality. You have a brand new car, it will be older next year. But our spiritual lives are the most important. And hence, the importance to understand what God wants us to do, how he wants to light our path. And today, as we consider 8 verses from Psalm 119, this is the longest psalm, as I said. The author wrote the psalms as an acrostic poem, and most of you know that it uses the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and every section starts with one of the letters, and maybe in your Bible, for this section is letter N. And then noon. And why the author did that? Well, I don't know. That's not my subject today. Maybe he tried to make it very interesting so we can read it. But the first thing we can learn from here is that first the psalmist, some people said it's David, other people they don't know sure, but the psalmist recognized that God's word is his light. Following God's word helps us to find our way in life. And sometimes we feel disorientated. We don't know what to do. Perhaps something traumatic happened to you. Maybe you got fired from your job. Or maybe you have an illness. Like me, I was disoriented. I said, what am I going to do? What's happening to me? Or maybe a friend, a closest friend died. One of my best friends died the same day that I was in the hospital.
Or perhaps your best friend rejected you. Your husband said, I don't love you anymore. Your wife just walked away. We find ourselves drifting aimlessly, confused about which way to go. Following God's word shows us to live a life according to God's plan. Hence the importance of the word of God.
The original word here, as we read Psalm 105, the original word, refers to God's covenant. And what he wanted for his people. And it's not only the law, but it's the Jewish law, the Ten Commandments. But this word appeared 453 times in the Old Testament. I haven't counted what most people say. But in the psalmist describes, God's word as the lamb, as a light. In other words, God's word shows us the path that we are to follow. God's word makes God's way known to me and to you. It's that light there that perhaps doesn't make sense, but we just follow. When I was in the Navy, we knew that they were international regulations when we were sailing. We have federal and international regulations that were required. So we know it was written somewhere. Maybe not everyone knew it. It was written somewhere that there were regulations for navigation light. So you were traveling, and perhaps it was dark, it was foggy, and we were unable to see, but we knew it was written some regulations. And then we have these things there ready for us to follow. So one of the regulations says that under sail without the engine on, a sailboat display two side lights and a stern light. So two in the port side was red and the green was the starboard side, and then there was one at the back, the yellow. So perhaps, it was foggy. We didn't weren't able to see. But we knew that when the person in charge, they knew that they saw those lights, they knew how to do it. Because, that boat is going that way, so we go that way. That's the Bible. Maybe we don't understand, but it's the lie. God's word functions this way in our lives. Danger is around us. And the word of God will tell you, will tell me where to go or where not to go. And it tells us clearly what to do. Many people today, they do not believe in absolute truth. And that's our problem. Because our world has blurred to clear distinctions between right and wrong. Sometimes people consider right what is wrong. And what is bad is absolutely okay. Therefore, everyone is entitled to believe whatever they want. They do not want to be committed. One example is that many people say, well, I like you, I get, and then we just live together. And the moment something happens, you just walk away. According to the Bible, that's not what it says. And hence, we have problems. People tend not to see that, but that's what's happened. People do not want to be committed. And vows are just something unimportant. Something that belongs to the past. God's word helps us find our way. Shall we say it together? And I'm going to tell you what Jesus says. Some people say, well, Jesus speaks about love. Some people don't want to read the Old Testament. It's so gloomy. Just the New Testament. Some churches call New Testament church. Where about the old? And this is what Jesus says. Well, Jesus in Matthew, if you have your Bible, you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, you hear it, of mine, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house
on the rock. What a wonderful thing to have a good foundation. So, if I hear the words of God and I put it into practice, I am building my business. I am building my family. I am building my marriage on the rock. And then you know the passage that after that, but the one who builds on the sand, the wind blows. And what is going to happen? Disaster. Through his word, God help us to see life differently. God's word that lights up the road ahead of us is the source for every situation. I am unwell, praise the Lord. I am a millionaire tomorrow, praise the Lord. I am struggling, praise the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And Jesus said, hear my words, I am with you. You study the word of God, and then you hear you mature Christian friends, you follow, and you to try to know more. You are not going to learn how to be wise with your friend in the pub. But when you come to the word of God, and you have fellowship with your brothers and sisters, something has to happen. The second thing the psalmist vowed to follow the word of God. I have taken an oath and confirmed that I will follow your righteous laws. The psalmist announced that he wants to obey the word of God. He not only said, oh, the lamp is up, you know, your word is my lamp, your word is my light. No, he said, I promise to obey it. That's what he says here. His conformity of his life to God's word, you have already heard his aspiration. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I want your word to guide me on the way. I want your word to show me the way through this dark world. I want your word to be my life, but now I want to conform to your word. I want to obey it. So the psalmist says, I want to do it. What a resolution. What a challenge. What the psalmist is saying is what we says when we vow to become a member of a church, when we promise to in baptism service, the promise you make to God, when you come to get married, you know, you said, I promise. When you are ordained for ministry. Now, the thing is when for example, in a wedding, those who have been married, in a wedding, when a man is asked to say, this I promise and covenant before God that in this witness to be your loving and faithful husband in sickness and in health, in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, as long as we both shall live. And then the woman have to say the same. Many of mature Christians, my friends, they have told me this. They says, if my wife and I were not Christians, we will not be married today. It's the vows. Do you know when you come to get married? Do you know that your wife will continue to be as beautiful as she is when you are getting married? So nice? Don't answer. Or the husband? Will he continue to be so polite, so, you know, serving, and so handsome, and then suddenly the years come by and we deteriorate? No, okay, that's, forget about that. Okay. But you see the challenge. So we don't know. The psalmist doesn't know what the future holds, but said, I have vowed to follow your word, my Lord. He's not saying, you know, that, oh, you know, I wonder if you do this for me, do that. No. The psalmist is just here saying, I'm going to conform to your word. And he, in the next verse, he's determined to look to God's word. Verse 107 says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. According to your word. This is the third thing we learn here in this passage. I have suffered much, Lord, but preserve my life according to your word. He began with the declaration that the word is what is going to guide him. He said, I'm going to stick to it.
But when I have problems, I'm going to try to do it myself. And say, no. He says, the psalmist declared his determination to look only to God's word for life when he is under affliction. But that doesn't mean that we have to not to be practical. If I am ill, I have to go and see the doctor. That's what I did. That's what you should do. If you are struggling, that you don't have a job, you've lost your job, you need to pray, but you need to look for a job. You don't have to wait for the job to come from heaven. If you feel you're struggling with depression, good for help. But that doesn't mean you don't trust in God. He's saying, I will do it, but I am safe in your hands, Lord. I have suffered much, but I know that you preserve my life. That's the reason why when the anesthetic, you know, the guy who came to put me down, you know, not to put me down, put me to sleep. He says, we laugh. And I said, look, don't tell me anything. I said, he was all the blah, 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 blah. I said, could you please don't tell? The only make sure that I wake up. And they were laughing, you know. No, that doesn't mean we don't trust. We know that we are safe. Many of you suffer. Many of you right now, you are going through difficult times. Let me tell you something. I have learned from my mature Christian friends to grow. On Saturday, I have the honor to preach in a memorial service of Ron Denhart, which is my friend. He was 95. He died the same day I was there. And the family put the, I don't know how they did it, but said, but by next week you will be better. But when Ron suffered a lot, and he was a blessing to the church. He was a blessing to many churches. And perhaps that verse says, I have suffered much, but he knew that God will preserve his life. My friends, when you are suffering, don't walk away from the Lord. Stick to it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we endure sufferings and remain true and faithful to the Lord, he can use our suffering for his glory. In the growth of his kingdom. People are watching you. People are watching me. How I walk with the Lord. Observing that some of these mature Christians like Ron and some of you and some other people in Ecuador, some people in America, have helped me to grow. That is what the psalmist is saying. I suffer, but I know that you can be with me. God's word preserves our lives. We are in good company. Jesus says we have a good foundation. And finally, what the psalmist says, he declares that he will joyfully follow God's statutes and decrees. This is what verse 108 says of Psalm 119. I set, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Now, this is quite interesting. I want you to pay attention to this verse. Because here, the psalmist announces his delight in worship. Listen to his phrase. He's delighted. He says, I set, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth. He's not going to worship God to tick the boxes for a liturgy. He's willing to come and say, God, blessed be your name. When the road is marked with suffering, blessed be your name. When I am in the top of the world, blessed be your name. When I don't understand what the Bible says, blessed be your name. I am angry at God. Some people take that position. I respect it, but that's not what the Bible is saying. And he worship. Dr. Larry Crabb describes worship like this. Worship means in the middle of life at its experience. Good, bad, boring. That you find some way to be caught up in God's characters and purpose so that he will become central. That is worship. You just go there. You know, worship is something that we delight. The psalmist is saying, nobody is saying, you must go to church. Nobody. Oh, if I'm not in church, nobody will be able to play the piano. If I'm not going to church, who's going to preach? If I'm not going to, see. Worship is the willingness, you delight. He wants to be there. Nobody is forcing him to sacrifice. He wants to be there. That is worship. Free will. But, is not the complete statement. The second part says, shall we say it together? Another translation says this. That's what he's saying. He's in worship, lost in worship, bringing offerings, and now it comes the word of God, and he said, teach me, Lord. I will follow. Teach me your rules. I love music. I appreciate a lot of music and all that, but I feel weary when you go to churches and they have 2 hours of worship, 3 hours of worship, and a 5-minute sermon. No, a little bit longer, 10-minute sermon. It's worship, and teach me your words. Teach me your rules. When the minister or the one who is leading, come on, let's worship. Come on, God is talking to you. Something is happening in the middle. Something has to change. If nothing changes, that is not worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 says, the writer of Hebrews put it in, what is worship? How we should interact when we come to church. He said, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws where? In their hearts. It's not just a liturgy when we come to church. It's not an academic exercise. God has to speak to your heart, has to speak to my heart and say, and I will write them on their minds. My friends, if you delight in worship, you will be caught up. The gospel will speak to you. Something is going to happen. The psalmist says, please teach me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Let's read together because I love verse 11. But let's read verse 10 and 11 together. If you love me, keep my commandments. In order to live God's word in our lives, we need to be teachable. Allow God to teach us. I like that verse, but I don't like this one. No. Don't preach on that passage. That's horrible. Have you ever have some Bible verses come into your mind and then you discuss with your friends? My passage for Ron's memorial is a passage that he found me. No, we met 3 times to discuss, to talk about that passage. And I sense that that's the passage I have to preach. And I said, but this man have read his Bible all his life. We struggle. But when I was serving in the Navy, it was my duty or our duty to be informed. Now I am not informed. You will eat well daily, you will rest, and you will exercise every day. And in order to be ready to accomplish whatever we were asked to do. If I didn't do that, my muscles will not, you know, function properly and will start to deteriorate. Spiritual health is the same. If we don't read our Bible, if we don't study, we will be weak. And maybe we will be making more and more mistakes. Do you read your Bible daily? That's what I try to do. We walk to the Bible to encourage us to read the Bible. Maybe you don't understand it. The Holy Spirit will help us. But you don't know the privilege of opening your Bible and reading it. I conclude with something that happened to me. It makes me change my perception about the Bible. When I was in Chapel Hill, Cecilia used to work in Brentwood. Brentwood is not too far, but it's outside London. It's not too far from us. And I used to see many Americans coming around Brentwood. And I said, but they are holidaymakers. They are supposed to be in central London. And that was in my mind. I said, what are they doing here in Brentwood? Well, after a few years, a couple from America came to help me in the church. They were missionaries. And guess what? I said, oh, Cecilia works in Brentwood. We would like to go to Brentwood. I said, wait a minute. You need to ask me this question. You need to answer this question. When he said that I saw many Americans, I was wondering, what are they doing here? And I said, well, it's all about William Hunter. I said, what? Okay. Excuse me, my ignorance. I said, well, can you tell me? You know, and they told me this story. In Brentwood, outside one of the private schools in Brentwood, there is a big tree, and there is a plate outside the tree. And he said, William Hunter, martyr, committed to the flames, March 26, 1555, Christian reader, learn from his example to value the privilege of an open Bible and be careful to maintain it. William Hunter was a young man. He was a young man. This is the story. You could Google it as well. He had lost his job in London as a silk weaver because he refused to attend the Catholic Mass despite an order that everyone in the city of London have to attend, and have come to live with his parents in Brentwood, but got into a dispute and discovering reading the Bible for himself in the Brentwood chapel. My friends, the psalmist says, I am thirsty. I want to know more. And you know, people like William Hunter and many others, you are free to read the Bible in English, in Spanish, in French, in any other language. Because before it was just in Latin and people didn't understand. So every time, don't neglect your Bible. Don't leave it there. And they said, I was reading, they gave me a booklet and I was reading that when he died, said one day in London and beyond, people will have the privilege to read their Bibles and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. That's what we have. Young people, revival comes from you. He was 19 only. Joyfully, these people decided to obey. Perhaps we are going to have time when they say, you are not to preach this way. Maybe they are not going to burn me there. They're going to send me to jail. I will be joining William Hunter. Just because, oh, you are a horrible preacher. You cannot teach that. Following God's word helps to preserve lives. My heart aches when I see young people and many people lost. We need more William Hunters. We need more people who allows to the word of God to be their light. Like the psalmist vow to obey the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath. Are you willing to do it this year? I have suffered much. Preserve my life, knowing that he will preserve your life. According to your word, accept my willing praise. What about us? Are you willing to do it this year? Do you live with this sense of the same kind of determination and passion? It's a SPS. You remember? Spiritual? Spiritual positioning system. You are struggling, my friend, even if you don't understand. I struggle with this passage. In Latin America, they struggle with some passages and they have liberal theology and as a response, there are things I don't understand. But I bow before the word of God and that's what I intend to do. You know why? I finish with this verse and then we pray. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. I am an ordinary person. When I surrender to the word of God, he will help me to see things differently. He preserves our lives. He fills us with joy and determination. And everything we do will be for his glory, not for our glory. May the Lord help Penrod to be a church like the psalmist to allow the word of God to be the lamp who guide this church. Amen. Let us pray. I invite the band to come forward to lead us with the last song. And invite you just to consider the words of the psalmist. We don't have time to finish the 8 verses. We stop there. Is the word of God your lamp for your feet? Is the word of God who lights your path? Or you have allowed an institution, laws, and the society to tell you where to go? Father, help us to hear your voice every time we open the Bible and study it and meditate. Help us to be committed to you, knowing that you will help us, that you will preserve our lives. Help us to live according to your word and help us to worship you. Receive the praise of our mouth and teach us your love.